One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today. And get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Dynasty Dugout Show, a podcast covering all things minor league baseball. Get a front row seat to the action with everything you need to know about the future stars of Major League Baseball. And now, here's your host, Chris Clegg.
Opening day is here. It's the Dynasty Dugout Show. This is your host, Chris Clegg, host and the founder of the DynastyDugout.com. Your one-stop shop for all things dynasty and prospect related things. Today we are covering the Los Angeles Angels farm system as we near the end. The end is near, folks. We are almost there and have almost made it through every team's farm system. After today, just two more, and we will knock those out in the morning before we begin our daily breakdowns of all the minor league action. Today is Thursday, March 28th. It is opening day. For the major league side, AAA kicks off tomorrow, which is very exciting. But now we are going to talk Angels prospects. Let's dive right in. System that is fairly interesting. Not a lot of depth, but has a little bit of talent at the top. And we will start with Nolan Chanuel, one of the more polarizing players in all of baseball. Chanuel had a really good career at Florida Atlantic, in which he mashed 46 home runs. He stole 31 bases, and he slashed 386, 516, 698 in 810 plate appearances. So I look at this profile. It was really fun in college, but there are some serious questions because at the end of the day, the bat speed is not there. The power has not been there with Wood, even though the exit velocities with metal in college were pretty strong. 91 mile an hour average EV, 106 mile an hour, 90th percentile exit velocity. The power with Wood has not been there. Last year had an average of 84 mile an hour exit velocity and a 9th percentile EV of 97 miles per hour. Yet those numbers weren't great at all. He had a small sample in the majors, but more of the same, 97 9th percentile. There is word that the bat speed has gotten better this offseason. He looked a little bit better in the spring and showed a little more power. But I do think that Chanuel plays well in a couple of cases. He plays well in a points league. He plays well in an OBP league. He's going to take a walk. He does not chase at all. I mean, you look at the plate discipline skills. Last year, he chased just 12% of pitches out of the zone in college, which is pretty good. And I mentioned the contact rates are pretty solid. It's wild to see a player pushed as aggressively as Chanuel was, pushed to the majors not long after he was drafted. And the results were a mixed bag. So, at the end of the day, I think we're talking about a young kid who can still get better. Yes, I am lower on Nolan Chanuel than most are, but Not to say that I hate him. I think there is room for improvement. Like I said, I think he plays well in certain formats. So know the formats that he plays well in and exploit that. So if you can, I think you can get him on the cheap. I don't think he's going to cost you too much to acquire. So I'd look to do so and see potentially what you can get for, or it will cost you to get him. Because I think that the cost is just so down that you can take a shot and see where it goes. Caden Dana, slip over to the arm side. Caden Dana is a lot of fun. Former 11th rounder in 2022 draft, but received a big overslot bonus of $1.5 million. He spent the entire 2023 season as a 19-year-old. He pitched extremely well across 68 innings. He had a 3.56 ERA, 89 strikeouts to 30 walks. Unfortunately, he was shut down at the All-Star break due to arm fatigue. The Angels decided to manage his workload. Now on the mound, Dana throws a fastball that sits in the mid-90s. It's up to 97. Ton of life up in the zone. And when he's locating it consistently up, he gets plenty of swings and misses. High spin, high IVB fastball, really good characteristics. The slider sits in the mid-80s. Good sweeping action. And he throws it to lefties and righties. Curveball shows downward movement. It has late break when he snaps it off. And most of Dana's pitches show very high spin rates. Changeup does not, but that's a good thing. The changeup, while he doesn't throw it often, does show really good fade away from lefties and has a potential to be a whiff pitch against left-handed batters. Strong frame, plenty of room to add more strength. Dana looks like a starter to me and has the upside to be a mid-rotation guy. For the most detailed write-up on the internet, you can find a link below on Caden Dana, because Nate Handy did one of the most impressive breakdowns that you will find anywhere. Guarantee you it's deeper than any scouting report out there on Caden Dana. So you can check that out in the link in the description. It is very, very good. What about Nelson Rada? I look at Nelson Rada. I think he's about to break out in a big way. He already kind of did. Signed for $1.85 million in 2022, and he spent the entire 2022 DSL as a 16-year-old. He showed a strong feel to hit. The Angels liked enough of what they saw to skip him straight to single A, just completely skipping the complex. So Rada was extremely young for single A, but he did some really impressive things. He started the year as a 17-year-old. He was the youngest player in full season ball, and he slashed 276, 396, 346. Two homers, 21 extra base hits, and 55 stolen bases. He's a smaller frame, but he moves well. He steals bases. He glides in center field. Bat to ball is really good. Made 78% contact last year while showing really good swing decisions. The swing is geared for more line drives. And if the body does fill out a little more, which you think is definitely possible, he looked really good this spring and I thought he looked a little more filled out with a little more power. I think he could be a 15-plus home run bat. On top of that, steal you 30 bases. He can hit for average. Nelson Rada is on the verge of a big breakout, folks. Don't miss it. Going down the list, Jorge Ruiz. Ruiz is one that I've liked for a little while. I feel like I was in a little early on him, and he looked good, and he kind of faded off. So I'm kind of questioning now my decision to be in on him so early. He got hurt, which, you know, that kind of ended his season early. But he, in his first 73 games, he slashed 304, 379. 419 with three homers and 13 stolen bases. He did have 19 doubles and three triples. He had a solid extra base hit rate, showing the potential for more power. And when you look at a frame like Rada, you know, it's interesting. The power was gap to gap. The contact was good, but he is older than Rada. He's 19 years old. So how much will he fill out? How much will he continue to add to this frame? We shall see. I'm a little more confident in Nelson Rada's upside than I am Jorge Ruiz. So that's obviously something to watch out for. I think that the amount of power that he can grow into will be something to watch closely. But the contact skills are above average or better. He has good speed. He's not Rada, but Jorge Ruiz is a pretty interesting player to keep an eye on. Next guy, Barrett Kent. I love Barrett Kent. He is a 8th rounder in the 2023 draft. He was given $1 million to forgo his commitment to Arkansas. He pitched just 8 2/3 innings last year, but you can see why he got an overslot bonus. Very impressive arsenal. He struck out 10, allowed just 4 hits and four walks apiece without giving up a run. The fastball sits in the mid-90s. It can already reach 98, registers very solid IBB numbers. He gets some arm side run to go with it. The velocity does not tend, it does tend to take a step back in starts, which is kind of worth noting. But we're talking about a young kid that's highly projectable and is going to get to more velocity over time. And his velocity is certainly going to hold deeper in the starts the older that he gets. The slider was his primary whiff pitch last year. He throws it against righties, two-plane breaker, a lot of good stuff within that slider. Look at the changeup. It shows nice fade and nice depth. It sits in the low 80s, and it could be a very devastating pitch to left-handed batters. He does not throw the curveball often, but does show a lot of downward movement, sitting in the high 70s. Here's my concern. At the moment, Barrett Kent's like a two-pitch pitcher. Big fastball, but here's the problem. While he did mention he throws the slider and the changeup, most of those are thrown to just either lefties or just righties. I'd really like to see Kent kind of refine the arsenal a little bit, and he probably will. Like, I'm not going to sit here and write him off and say that he's not, because there's definitely the potential that he does. And if he does, he is going to be very good. He is highly, highly underrated, and he is one that I think is still a really good investment, and he could really take off. So I would watch out for Barrett Kent. Keep going down the list. Another arm that I like, Jorge Marcheco. Big riser in 2023 due to definitely the pitchability that he has. He pitched in a hitter-friendly California League, and he dominated across five high A starts. He pitched 121 innings across two levels. He had a 3.55 ERA with 124 strikeouts and just 26 walks. Those strikes at a high clip, 67%, very pitchability type arm. Low 90s fastball, they get some arm side run. It does get up to 94, but you would like to see that pitch tick up a little bit. And I think that's still possible that we see that happen. Marcheco runs it up against righties. He runs it away from lefties. Slider shows a nice two-plane break. It has a lot of vertical drop out of the gate, but you know, it has more late horizontal movement. It gets some really ugly swings. The changeup for Marcheco plays well, especially against lefties. He's even thrown at Ephus on occasion, which is very wild. The command and control are the big sticking points for Marcheco. Given his frame, there is a chance his velocity could tick up. You like to see it sit 93, 94 more consistently, but with a 6'1", 185 frame, I think I'm taking my chances that it does tick up, where he could be a pretty enticing player. So watch out for Marcheco this year. Kyren Paris, interesting shortstop, former second rounder in 2019. He has a strong feel for power and speed. He really moved up the rankings early in 2023, where he had shown an improved batting average and even OBP. The Angels got pretty aggressive, and they sent him to the majors straight from AA. The results were okay, but at the end of the day, for the season, Paris slashed 255, 393, 417, with 14 homers and 44 stolen bases. The concern, it came with a contact rate shy of 63%. It is worth noting that he did play minor league ball in the Southern League, which had the tacky ball. And the contact rate, though, after the tacky ball left the Southern League, just 64%. So it was not a case where it got much better after the tacky ball. You know, Paris is a good shortstop. He's got power and speed, but I do think that the contact skills could lead to a low batting average and maybe not even make him a regular player, which is kind of my concern, that he's not an everyday regular. Could be, but it's a little early to tell. Let's keep moving forward. Ben Joyce. He's a pure reliever. He's going to be in the Angels' bullpen to start the year and has closer stuff. He averaged 101 miles an hour on his fastball last season, and he uses that fastball 80% of the time. The pitch has reached up to 105 on occasion. It's wild. Generates 14 inches of arm side run on average. And when Joyce is not throwing the fastball, the slider sits in the upper 80s with nice sweeping action. He sometimes struggles with those strikes and doesn't live in the zone very often. But when you're throwing the fastball like he is and you're throwing that big slider, there's closer stuff. Health and durability are a big concern. He has not pitched on back-to-back days as a collegiate arm or a professional. something to monitor there. That's pretty interesting. I think that Joyce will be fine. I think he's going to be a fun bullpen arm that could be a closer. So watch out for Ben Joyce and see what comes of it. Another that I think is a reliever is Sam Bachman, former ninth overall pick in 2021 out of Miami, Ohio. He is a starting pitcher. He's been developed as one, but I really think that he is a reliever through and through. He's averaged just 3.5 innings per start, and upon being promoted to the majors in 2023, he pitched really well exclusively out of the bullpen. Fastball is not quite as good as Ben Joyce, but it does sit 97. It has 19 inches of sink and 15 inches of run. He misses bats when he locates it well, actually, which is pretty good for a sinker. And if he's not missing bats, he's getting weak contact on the ground. The slider's an inconsistent shape. It sits in the upper 80s with more vertical drop. It plays more as a cutter, actually. And when he's throwing it well, as short horizontal, he'll throw a changeup to lefties. And the movement pattern follows the sinker, actually, but it does have some late drop to it. You know, the Angels keep saying that Bachman's going to be a starter, but I don't know. I don't really see it. So I think he's going to be a very solid bullpen arm long term and could be one that could be a lot of fun and pitch and make a formidable duo at the back end of that bullpen with Ben Joyce. So watch out and see what happens there. But I think both these guys are relievers through and through.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.
Let's go back to the draft well with a couple of 2023 draftees, starting with Joe Redfield, who I think is pretty underrated. He's an outfielder from Sam Houston State. That's a smaller school, but it's the same school that produced Colton Cowser. He has a small collegiate track record, but the Angels liked him enough to snag him in the fourth round. He had 300 plate appearances in 2023. He showed one of the best contact profiles in the draft, while slashing .402, .485, .683. With 15 homers and 16 stolen bases. He chased just 17% of pitches out of the zone, and he posted a 95% zone contact rate. He walked as often as he struck out, and while he did hit 15 home runs, I think there's some questions regarding the power. The average EV with metal came out to 86 miles an hour and 102.5 ninth percentile. This is fine, but I do think the power is probably a little bit below average, so I think he's more of a 10 to 15 home run bat, but Redfield has elite contact. He's got some solid speed. This is the kind of profile that won't excite fantasy players, but it is a very solid overall profile. Looking at Alberto Rios, another drafty. Last year was his only year as a full-time player. He played at Stanford, but he had some really good results. He slashed .384, .485, .707. With 18 home runs last season. He showed a good plate discipline profile, and he did get 36 games professionally last year. And while the sample wasn't great, it was exactly that, a very small sample. At Stanford, really good plate discipline profile. He chased just 17% of pitches out of the zone while making contact, an impressive clip over 80%. The average exit velocity of 89 miles an hour was respectable, and the 105 ninth percentile was really good. Rios will need to prove that this was no fluke. Like, we're talking a one-year track record. So he'll need to show that last season was no fluke, and that's kind of a little bit of a concern, is that we don't know if he's legit or not. But the data does give us some solid inclination that he might be pretty solid. So I think that Rios is the one to take a shot on in deeper leagues and kind of see where it goes. But for now, yeah, I mean, he's what he is, a high contact bat with questionable pop, but could get to more than we think. Now, this next prospect is one of my favorite under the radar ones when I was writing this system up that I just had totally whiffed on. Looking at this profile of Dario Laverde, I'm pretty intrigued. Laverde is an 18-year-old catcher, highly athletic, signed for $350,000 back in 2022, left-handed hitter with a very simple operation at the plate, uses a simple toe tap, very explosive through the zone. He sprays the ball to all fields well, and he had a good DSL performance, really good contact rates. He came stateside, and he continued to perform at the complex. 306, 419, 455 in 43 games with a homer, 7 stolen bases, and 14 extra base hits. So this profile is pretty interesting. The exit velocities won't wow you. Laverde is not tapping into the power yet, but he's only 18 years old. There's plenty of time for him to grow and to fill out this frame. And I think he's going to do exactly that. He is one that's a very patient hitter. He'll take a walk when he needs to. I would take a serious look at this profile, and it might just be one that maybe you should take a second look at in a deep league and say, okay, maybe this is the type of bat that I want to take a shot on, because I really, really like this profile of Dario Laverde. So a deep sleeper there. Hit a couple of arms, and a couple of these arms have actually debuted. Victor Medeiros, a 22-year-old right-handed pitcher. The Angels got pretty aggressive by promoting him last year, which was interesting. He had no innings above AA and just 65 total professional innings. And what did he do? He went to the majors. The results weren't good. He made 3 relief appearances, but he spent most of the time in AA, where the results actually were a mixed bag. But Medeiros does have a very strong frame. He's 6'2", 227, mid-90s fastball, touches 99 on occasion. He'll throw a sinker with heavy run, late sinking action, making it a very tough pitch for hitters to pick up. It's a two-plane slider, shows nice sweep and drop, while sitting in the upper 80s. Medeiros also throws a loopy curve with more sweep than the slider and a ton of vertical drop. Both breaking balls do play as above-average pitches, and Medeiros may fit best in the bullpen, where the stuff can play up in shorter stints. I'm not sure if they try him as a starter or not, but I'd be more inclined to like Medeiros in the bullpen. As is probably this next guy, Jack Kochanowicz. Kochanowicz is a 6'7", 228 right-handed pitcher. He's 23 years old. He does have some projection, and he is one that was kind of underrated for a little while. He popped on some boards, and then he proceeded to just fall off again, which is kind of interesting. He's not filled out his frame like many thought that he would, which has kind of left some questions of, you know, who is Jack Kochanowicz? But at the end of the day, it is a profile that I really like, even though the results have not been good. He's a deeper league target due to the stuff. You look at a sinker that added velocity last year, mid-90s, reaching 99. The changeup now plays a lot better because there's velocity separation. Sits in the high 80s, good fade. He throws a sweeper that misses bats in the mid-80s. At the end of the day, you know, this profile is semi-interesting and one that, you know, I think is worth taking a shot on. Going a little deeper with some arms, I like Sammy Natera Jr., who I think flew under some radars last year. He was a 17th rounder in the 2022 draft. He made 22 starts last year, and they were very solid. In most of those starts, 14 of those to be exact, he allowed 2 earned runs or less, which is pretty solid. He had several bad outings, which inflated his overall ERA to 4.76 across 90 and 2/3 innings. But at the end of the day, like, I thought the results were pretty good. He finished the season 5th among starters with a 25.6% K-BB rate, and he was top 30 for his 31.3% CSW. Natera is a big lefty, 6'4", with a good fastball in the mid-90s, has ride in the top of the zone. When he locates it well, gets plenty of swing and misses on it underneath that pitch. He also throws a slider from a tough release point to pick up, especially for lefties, and he runs it away from the righties with a changeup. I like this profile. Yatera will have a big year in 2024, and it'll be telling of, you know, who exactly is Sammy Yatera Jr. I think we'll find that out pretty quickly this year. So, keep moving forward. Luis Torres, 19-year-old first baseman, big power, 6'3", 210 pounds. This guy can mash. He was really good in the DSL. He put up some pretty gaudy exit velocities in the DSL in 2022, and he had 8 home runs and slashed .345, .406, .571. He began last season stateside at the complex, and he was really good. He earned a promotion to single A, where the results were not so great. Considering his age, though, I kind of want to give him a pass on the, you know, single A season. He'll be back there in 2024 in Inland Empire. And if he gets the chance to be the player that we saw him be in the DSL in the complex, I think his stock rebuilds a little bit. Keep a close eye on Luis Torres, first baseman, Angels prospect, 19 years old. A couple other young guys that I like. Kevin Castillo, an 18-year-old outfielder, signed in the 2022 international class for just $10,000. And he had a lackluster DSL season to begin his career. He repeated in 2023, and the results were honestly different, as they should be. But when you look at the profile, Castillo was really good, and he filled out his frame. He became a more disciplined hitter. The numbers showed as he slashed .371, .478, .548. Had 3 homers, 20 extra base hits across 55 games, which is really good. And he added 23 steals, but was caught 9 times. So, looking at that, I think that, you know, it's interesting to kind of look at this profile and say, okay, Castillo made strides last year as an 18-year-old. What's next? We'll see, because he'll likely begin the year in single A this year. And I would not be shocked if we see him continue to progress and become a much better player. So I think that this is kind of profile to take a shot on, where maybe he doesn't cost you all that much. And he could be somebody in a deep league. Kevin Castillo may take off. Not saying he's going to be a superstar, but could be an undervalued deep dynasty league asset. These next two guys are interesting. Jadiel Sanchez is a player that I was actually pretty excited about watching. He was initially drafted by the Phillies in 2019. And at this point, he's still not played at a level higher than single A. He was traded to Los Angeles as part of the Noah Syndergaard deal, but he spent all of 2023 at single A Inland Empire, where he did put up good results. But remember, this guy was drafted in 2019 and is 22 years old. He slashed .297, .378, .475 with 11 home runs and 7 stolen bases while having 36 extra base hits. I mean, the stuff was good. The contact rates were good, 81%. Switch hitter, does a lot of his damage from the right side, but makes much better contact from the left. It's an odd profile. We've kind of waited for him to fill out his frame. Sanchez is 6'2", 185, but he hasn't yet. He'll begin the season as a 23-year-old this year, and he really needs to show an improved skill set for me to fully buy into Yadiel Sanchez. Adrian Plasencia is another one to watch. He is a speedy middle infielder. He's shown some pop, but he struggled to make consistent contact. You know, he spent the majority of the 2023 season in high A. He ended the year in double A before heading out to the Arizona Fall League. But he posted just a .212, .341, .323 slash with 10 home runs and 24 stolen bases. The contact skills have been kind of an issue for Plasencia. I mean, he followed up 2022's 61% contact rate with a 62.6% clip in 2023, which is not great. There's interesting tools, but I'd like to see a little more from Adrian Plasencia for me to actually want to buy in a little more. Can he do it? Yeah, possibly, but right now I am a little bit concerned. Let's talk about a couple other guys before we get out of here. Felix Morabel is one that I'm interested in. He flies under the radar. He was their highest bonus signee in the 2023 international class. He got $900,000, 6-foot switch hitter. He has good contact skills from both sides of the plate. He has a smooth swing geared for line drives. In the DSL, he posted a pretty solid 286, 322, 335 slash. And while that's not wowing anybody, put a ton of balls in play. Struck out just a 7.5% clip, which is really good. The future impact will ultimately determine who Morabell may be. At the moment, I think those questions still need to be answered. But right now, you know, I see a player that showed good instincts on the base pass last year. He stole bases. If he grows and he adds strength to this frame, then he might be a pretty interesting target. So Felix Morabell is one to keep an eye on in deeper leagues. Byron Castillo, kind of a deeper league name, outfielder, 18 years old. He had a not so good showing in the DSL last year, but he was one of their bigger signees, so we'll at least keep an eye there and see what happens. John Wimmer was a prep drafty last year in the 11th round. He is somebody that has a pretty interesting frame. He's still fairly young, and Wimmer is somebody that should be on your radar. The Angels liked him enough in the 11th round to take him, keep him away from his college commitment. I don't know. I think John Wimmer might be a sneaky little play once we see him in pro ball this year. Camden Menachi, he's one that I really like. He was a 6th rounder last year from Wake Forest. He's kind of a deeper league guy. He's a reliever through and through. So, you know, I don't really suggest investing in a lot of relievers in dynasty leagues that aren't closers already. But pitching prospects that are relievers are kind of whatever. But Menachi was the Wake Forest closer last year and pretty good one at that. So you can watch out and see what happens there. There's still Jordan Adams, you know, kind of dwelling around. Who knows what goes on with him. And Leo Marquez, I hope I'm saying that right. It's A-N-Y-E-L-O, Marquez. He was 17 last year. He just turned 18. He's pretty interesting, middle infielder. He has some decent speed, some decent contact as well, and good plate skills. So watch out for Marquez, see what happens there. And there's still Werner Blakely hanging around, who's been in the system since 2020 when he was selected in the 4th round. He spent most of the year in high A last year, did get to double A to end the year. The results were kind of so-so. And Werner Blakely's just one of those prospects that probably out on at this point. So this system is kind of meh once you get down a little deeper. I will say, as we leave, we'll go out with this one. I think that Anthony Scull might be pretty interesting. He was a 19-year-old outfielder last year. He just turned 20. And Scull put up some pretty decent numbers last year at the complex. Slash 300, 377, 455. He had 3 home runs, and he had 10 stolen bases. And that was across 191 plate appearances. So Scull could add some weight. He's 6'160". So if he adds good weight and gets to more power, then all of a sudden he becomes a pretty interesting player. Because I do think the contact skills are there. He's shown the ability to get on base, and there's some speed as well. So Anthony Scull is one to watch out for. As we get out of here, enjoy your opening day. It is a great day. Baseball is back, and I am so pumped. Thank you for tuning in with us, and hope you have a great day.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.